Good morning, everyone. Sorry for our tardy starting, but we are now ready to get going on the hearing on case number PU-14-105. It is Monday, January 9th? 10th? 10th. January 10th. My name is Julie Fedorchak. I'm chair of the commission. I'm here today with Commissioner Randy Crisman. Our third seat is vacant currently, but we do have a quorum. Just for starters, a little bit of housekeeping, we will do this hearing as a formal hearing, even though it's somewhat of an informal setting. So in that, we ask that the company will present its case first, calling on its witnesses one at a time. We'll examine, cross-examine them, staff will as well. And then if you've got information that a different witness needs to bring forward, we'll have them come up second, and we'll kind of conduct this just like a typical formal hearing. And then we will allow the public to have comments at the end as well. So we will have an opportunity to hear from the public, any thoughts that they might have on this case. And so with that, I think we'll have... we'll see if Randy has any opening comments, and then we'll go into the introductions of the parties, and then the company can start with its first witness. So, Commissioner Crisman, any opening comments this morning?
No opening comments, except to apologize again. I just didn't look at the clock for too long and didn't realize that it was 8:30 and beyond already.
All right, very good. Okay, so... Ryan, do you want to introduce staff, and then we'll turn it over to the party?
Sure. For staff, there's myself, legal, and Patrick Fawn.
All right. Very good. So I see Molly on the screen. I'm going to kick it over to you, Molly. I'm assuming you're going to kind of spearhead things on your end. And you can introduce your case and your witnesses.
Sure. I'm Molly Smith at Fredrickson and Byron. I'm here on behalf of Sunflower Wind Project LLC, and we have before you an extension request on a light mitigation requirement. We have one witness today, Mr. Stacy Fitz, and we have Bruce Kerr also with us, but Bruce is available if there's certain questions that Stacy is not within his wheelhouse. We may have Bruce come up at the end to testify. Otherwise, we plan to have Mr. Fitz be our sole witness. We sent over on Friday, hand-delivered, six exhibits. We also email filed those. I plan to show them on the screen as we go, but just wanted to make sure that you received those.
Molly, we have not received those. They might be stuck in our docketing process. Is that where they probably are? All right. I didn't see them Friday, probably before 4 o'clock, but maybe did they arrive after that?
It's possible. It was probably right around then that they got there.
Okay. So how would you like to proceed, Commissioner Crisman? Should we take a second and get copies or...
Are these long things, like mini pages?
No, they aren't. I will say I think I saw them on the docket because I was looking this morning and I saw my letter was up. I didn't click on it to see if the exhibits were there, but I believe that they are there.
If they're here electronically, if we want to take 5 minutes, I'll go get my laptop and have them in front of me. Or we could print them, whichever you prefer.
That's certainly fine with us.
I might have copies in my inbox. I just haven't, or they're in my mailbox waiting to go to my inbox. So why don't we take a 5 minute recess, convene again at 1:45, and grab these documents.
Okay.
Sounds good. Thank you.
No. Yeah. Okay. We'll recess. Okay. All right. Thank you. We've got the exhibit. Some of them were, in fact, I think, if I remember correctly, maybe all but the ice Main Projects ALDS Operational History. I don't recall seeing that one, but I think the rest we might have seen before. So we have all the information you've provided now, so you can proceed, Molly. Thank you.
Sounds good. Thank you, Commissioner. So we will call our first witness, our only witness, Mr. Fitz. And are you planning to swear Stacy in, or should we just proceed with the assumption that he is under oath?
Yes, we should proceed with that assumption.
All right. Mr. Fitz, could you please introduce yourself to the commission?
My name is Stacy Fitz. I am Senior Director of Asset Management at Onward Energy. And I oversee operations at three wind projects in Maine that are owned and operated by Onward. And I am assisting with the implementation of the light mitigation technology for the Onward or for the Onward Sunflower Wind Project because of my prior experience with ADLS on two of our main projects.
And I'm going to stop there a second and just confirm that everybody can hear Stacy.
He sounds great.
Yep.
Okay, good. Thank you. Now, what's the connection between Onward Energy LLC and Sunflower Wind Project LLC?
Sunflower Wind Project LLC is a wholly owned subsidiary of Onward Energy LLC. Onward oversees the operations of the Sunflower Wind Project on behalf of Sunflower Wind Project LLC.
And what is Onward's experience in the renewable energy industry?
Onward has an extensive portfolio of renewable projects, both wind and solar, with a combined operating capacity of about 1.5 gigawatts of renewables in the U.S. Onward's projects are some of the largest facilities in the areas that we operate.
And what topics are you going to cover today in your testimony?
The key areas I'll cover include Onward's experience with ADLS technology on two of our operating wind projects in Maine. Onward's analysis of light mitigation technology options for the Sunflower Wind Project and concerns with the available ADLS technology and preference to use lids on Sunflower. The circumstances that led to Sunflower's extension request, including local outreach regarding light mitigation technology and potentially requesting an extension. And then also the timeline for obtaining and installing Terma ADLS technology at the project.
Is the project located in Stark and Morton counties?
Yes.
And it was, I believe, looking at the docket, constructed in 2015 and 2016, is that correct?
Yes.
And when did it begin commercial operations?
In December of 2016.
And I am showing you, hopefully, yeah, here we go. I'm showing you what's been marked as Exhibit 1. Is this a map of the project, the Sunflower Wind Project?
Yes.
And the current lighting technology that's on the project, is that standard FAA lighting, correct?
Yes.
And I'm showing you Exhibit 2. Is this the current standard lighting that is on the project currently?
Yes, it is. The project has not all turbines are lit. Some are just white painted towers, and then others are lit.
And could this change with review by FAA when you install light mitigating technology?
Yes. Part of the process of getting an ADLS tower permitted with the FAA is that they also conduct a review of this current lighting arrangement of the project. And along with that, they apply their current standards, which may have changed since the project was initially processed by the FAA.
And what's the purpose of the FAA lighting?
Its primary purpose is to provide a reliable system for safety of planes and passengers. Any lighting mitigation must be done in the context of safety and reliability.
You referenced that Onward has had some experience with ADLS on two wind projects in Maine. Can you please talk about that experience with those projects?
Sure. As you noted, we have two projects in Maine. The Hancock project is located on the coast of Maine. And then the Bingham Project is located in inland Maine further north. Vestas turbine-mounted ADLS was the only option available for us in 2017 when the project had the light mitigation requirement imposed by the Maine DEP. There had been another company, Lofferwind, which went bankrupt, so that was not an option. The Bingham Project, the inland project, regularly experiences icing conditions. It's in a similar climate to North Dakota. And the Vestas turbine-mounted ADLS radar was damaged twice by falling ice from the turbines, first time within 4 months of the ADLS system being commissioned. Between icing and then programming software issues, the ADLS system at the Bingham Project has only operated about 10 of the 51 months that it has been in play.
So I'm showing you what's been marked as Exhibit 3. You're referencing kind of the operational history of these two projects. Does this chart then show the monthly operational history of the ADLS systems for those two, the Bingham and Hancock projects?
Yes.
And it, just to orient everyone, the Bingham project is depicted by the green line?
Yes.
And Hancock's depicted by blue?
Correct.
And it looks like on is up, off is down on your chart.
That's correct.
And you talked a bit about the ice damage. There's also a couple of references to programming on the charts. Can you explain what that's referencing?
Well, Vestas did an audit. And Vestas maintains a 24-hour operating center, which monitors our ADLS system. And they did an audit internally of their programming and discovered basically what they described as a programming error within their code that gave them a bit of a pause to consider whether that system would function as it was designed. As a result, they shut the systems down worldwide, and that was done until they could resolve their programming issue.
Did Vestas address the icing issues?
They did. It took Vestas a long time to come up with a system that would protect the ADLS radar units while not damaging the turbines, because these radar units are basically connected by magnets to the side of the turbine towers. And this roofing system would had ice come down in any significant amount, they were worried that it could cause some sort of damage to the tower itself. They eventually designed a shield, basically a roof, at great expense to both Vestas and the projects to protect the radar from ice damage. There were 5 units at the Bingham Project, 5 radar units.
Did Onward's experience with the Vestas ADLS technology play a role in its analysis of light mitigating technology options for the Sunflower Wind project?
Absolutely. The Sunflower Project site, as I mentioned, has a similar climate and potential for icing conditions as the Bingham Project site. And we knew that the Vestas turbine-mounted ADLS design was not a viable option for the Sunflower Project. Through our experience with ADLS on the main projects, we recognize the uncertainty with that technology, which could significantly affect reliability and increase costs. When we learned that there were other systems other than ADLS that would be allowed in North Dakota subject to FAA approval, such as the LID system, we aggressively pursued that system.
Let's talk in a little bit more detail about Onward's analysis of light mitigating technology options for the Sunflower Wind project. When did that analysis begin?
Well, we had discussions with potential vendors, and I do recall a discussion with DTEC at a wind conference in 2017, at which point DTEC did not have an ADLS system that they were marketing at that time. I think it was in their kind of development phase. The focus of DTEC was avian and bat detection and other types of wind generation related technology. After those initial discussions, we were waiting for the light mitigation technology industry to mature and for options beyond the Vestas turbine-mounted ADLS to become available. And we received our first quotes in December and October of 2020 from Vestas, Terma, and DTEC for ADLS, and from Technostrove for LIDS.
And I think you may have said December. I think you meant September and October of 2020. Is that correct?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. No, I may have misheard you too, but it was.
Our first quotes came in September and October of 2020 from Vestas, Terma, and DTEC.
Based on experience that Onward has had or had had with ADLS and the information that you gathered, did Onward have concerns about using ADLS technology on the Sunflower Wind project?
Yes, we did.
Can you talk a bit about those concerns?
Based on our experience with the Vestas ADLS on our main projects, we were well aware that ADLS is a complex technology. And that it requires significant oversight and site-specific adjustments to operate effectively. Vestas is the most mature ADLS technology provider in that they've been in that space the longest. But its standalone tower design was not yet approved by the FAA, and its turbine-mounted system was not, in our minds, a suitable technology for North Dakota. We had concerns about Terma and DTEC, as they are newcomers to the ADLS world compared to Vestas. And it wasn't until right around 2020 that Terma installed its first two radar activated ADLS systems on wind projects in New Hampshire and North Dakota. The first ADLS technology provider, Lawfer Wind, had already gone out of business. So we had concerns about the long-term viability of any of the suppliers, Terma and DTEC, as examples. We also had concerns about the Terma and DTEC quotes compared to the Vestas quote. Terma and DTEC both provided single radar tower designs, while two radar towers were proposed by Vestas. And we had concerns about the possibility of inadequate radar coverage, requiring costly post-installation modifications for the Terma and DTEC designs. Neither Terma or DTEC offered 24/7 remote monitoring. And that is a service that we subscribe to with Vestas. And given the importance of that capability with Vestas, that was a significant concern. And we also spoke with wind project operators in North Dakota regarding their experiences with DTEC. They had noted issues that raised significant concerns about reliability.
In your analysis, how did LIDS compare to ADLS?
LIDS has been operating in Canada since 2015 with the approval of the Canadian equivalent of the FAA. LIDS is a much simpler, more reliable design. LIDS uses a light sensor that examines the night sky and adjusts the intensity of lights based on current conditions. It's a minimal technology to install, which means it doesn't involve any moving parts. It sits atop the nacelle near the lighting array instead of in some area adjacent on a separate tower. And it's not subject to the same risk for damage as the ADLS systems are. And maintenance is a once a year wipe off of the lens with a soft cloth. All the components and controls and software are internalized. They're relatively easy to repair, easy to troubleshoot. From a siting and permitting perspective, we would avoid almost all the permitting requirements that are involved with an ADLS system because there's no ground disturbance. And Sunflower is a WAPA interconnect and underwent NEPA review, so potential for state, local level permitting review for the ADLS system was a real concern. And the LIDS system comes at a cost significantly less than ADLS.
And you mentioned the WAPA interconnect and state and local. Was there also a concern then that there would be some sort of federal review because of the WAPA interconnect, the previous NEPA review?
Absolutely. You know, anytime you open up that box, there's always a concern, and the timelines involved with resolving any federal concerns could be significant.
And were you aware that LIDS hadn't received FAA approval?
Yes, but on multiple occasions, we were told by Technostrobe that the FAA approval was imminent.
Did you do any outreach to the FAA or others to encourage the approval of LIDS?
Yes, we did. We sent letters in May of 2021 to three individuals at the FAA, and we also sent letters to both the North Dakota U.S. senators encouraging their support for driving an approval for LIDS.
Were you aware that the commission received information earlier this year indicating that the FAA was unlikely to approve LIDS in time for installation by the end of 2022?
Yes.
Was that consistent with what you were hearing from Technostrobe?
No. Technostrobe indicated that its own outreach to the FAA didn't align with the informal information the commission had received and continually assured us that LIDS was nearing approval.
When did you learn otherwise?
Well, we were considering requesting a 2-year extension to allow time for LIDS to be approved by the FAA and for us to have that system installed. We knew of the information the commission had received about LIDS, and we didn't want to make a 2-year extension request without some indication from the FAA that approval would be issued in time to meet a 2-year extension deadline. And we'd been unable to get a response from the FAA. So we asked our consultant, Capital Airspace, to inquire informally of FAA staff on the likely timing of LIDS approval. Informally, the FAA staff indicated that LIDS was not likely to receive approval within the next 2 years.
What was your preferred alternative to LIDS?
Well, if LIDS wasn't an option, we preferred to use the Vestas standalone tower ADLS technology. Vestas, to us, is the most mature ADLS supplier in the industry. Onward has operating experience with Vestas. All of our turbines within our entire fleet are Vestas turbines. We have service and maintenance agreements with Vestas for all of our fleet. Vestas offers 24/7 remote monitoring. And although we had issues with the Vestas turbine mounted system, they had worked diligently to address those issues and now had a standalone tower design.
What was your understanding of when the FAA would approve the Vestas standalone tower ADLS design?
Well, Vestas assured us in October of 2020 that the design would be approved in the first quarter of 2021. And in January of 2021, Vestas continued to indicate that the FAA clearance should not be a technical hurdle because the technology was the same as its already approved system. It was just installed differently. Vestas continued to say the design would be approved in the first quarter of 2021. And when the first quarter of 2021 passed without word of approval, we reached out to Vestas several times before finally receiving a response in September of 2021. And then they told us that for the first time, that it was uncertain when the alternative design would receive FAA approval and that it was having difficulties getting a response from the FAA to its inquiries.
Did you consider requesting an extension to allow time for FAA approval of the Vestas standalone tower ADLS design?
Yes, when it became clear LIDS wouldn't be approved in the next 2 years, the Vestas standalone tower design was our next preferred option. However, when Vestas told us in September of 2021 that they didn't know when the FAA approval would be issued, we felt that there was too much uncertainty to ask for an extension to use the Vestas standalone tower design.
In the extension request you submitted, it mentions outreach to the local community about light mitigating technology and Sunflower's potential extension request. Can you talk in more detail about that outreach?
As I mentioned, we considered requesting a 2-year extension in order to install LIDS technology. And we understood the purpose of the light mitigation technology requirement was to minimize the impact of turbine lighting on area residents. So as a result, we wanted to get input from local residents near the project regarding how much of an issue the FAA lights were for them and whether they would object to a potential extension request to allow time for the FAA approval of lids. Sunflower had set up a booth at the Hebron Fall Festival that was held on September 11th and 12th of 2021 to discuss light mitigation technology and the potential for an extension request, and I manned that booth. We had a petition there for residents to sign, and it basically stated support for up to a 2-year extension request, and that was signed by 42 area landowners. No conditions were raised about the potential for an extension request or about current lighting.
So I'm showing you what's been marked as Exhibit 4. Is that the petition that you were referencing being signed by the 42 landowners?
Yes, it is.
And then I'm showing you what's Exhibit 5. Is this a map showing the location of landowners' properties in relation to the project as far as those that signed?
It shows, yes, it is. It shows the yellow pins are the folks that signed that gave us addresses within that local area. The blue dots are the wind turbines themselves and the location of the wind project in relation to the various people that gave us addresses.
And so there were some that gave you addresses or addresses weren't nearby and those aren't reflected on the map. Is that correct?
Some just noted the town that they lived in rather than putting a full mailing address on.
How would you characterize those that signed the petition?
Some were project participants. Many were just local people who engaged with us at the booth. And overall, those I spoke with were very positive towards the project and not concerned with lighting.
When you decided against requesting an extension to install lids with the Vesta standalone ADLS design, what was Onward's next step?
We immediately reached back out to Terma and DTECT, and we heard from Terma very promptly. And they indicated a typical installation timeline of 7 months from purchase to installation. And we began immediately to negotiate a purchase agreement with Terma. We eventually heard from DTECT, and they indicated a 12 to 14 month timeline from purchase to install. And we didn't pursue that option further.
And just for context, what was your understanding of the installation time for lids, for example?
LIDS has an installation time that's rather quick, and from purchase to install is about 3 months.
And after you had an estimated timeline, you submitted your extension request, is that correct?
Yes. We wanted to identify a realistic timeline for the permitting, site analysis, design, et cetera, that would need to be completed. In addition to coordinating with Terma, we identified the approvals that would be required for system installation and the associated timelines. And part of that inquiry was having Frederickson reach out to WAPA to discuss what process would be required for the addition of ADLS infrastructure, given WAPA's prior NEPA analysis for the project to authorize interconnection to WAPA substations. And as it currently stands, we anticipate the Terma ADLS system can be installed and operational by June 30th of 2022.
And if you look at what's been marked as Exhibit 6, does that exhibit provide a timeline for the installation of the Terma ADLS technology?
Yes.
And can you just high level walk through what's shown in this timeline in Exhibit 6?
Sure. The timeline, we wanted to be able to demonstrate that the June 30th deadline was reachable. We've broken it out in basically two sections, permitting and regulatory, and then the construction, which includes the EPC contract. You can see within that chart, the color coding, basically the relationships between the finish of one step and the beginning of another. And those also include the number of days that we anticipate for each of those steps. So the color coding, basically on the orange and the light blue, are the kind of the critical path items to get us to completion by June 30th.
Are you aware that the North Dakota legislature adopted the light mitigating technology requirement applicable to Sunflower Wind Project in 2017?
Yes.
Why didn't Sunflower pursue light mitigating technology 4 years ago?
Well, in 2017, the Vestas turbine-mounted ADLS was the only system available. It wasn't an option for Sunflower based on our own experience. And Terma and DTEC came along later. Terma's first installations were in 2020, and the input we received from DTEC wasn't all that positive. ADLS was and continues to be a new evolving use of radar technology. LIDS, which offered a solution to some of the problems with ADLS technology, wasn't approved yet. And given our history with the product that didn't work well, we investigated better options for Sunflower. In normal non-pandemic times, one year should be ample time to buy and install light mitigation system. So it made sense to give time for a better system to get to market.
Does Onward continue to have concerns about installing ADLS technology on the Sunflower Wind Project?
Yes, we do. Our own experience with ADLS technology, the complexity of the system, the issues noted by other wind project operators, and its relatively minimal operation history. We appreciate how responsive Terma has been, and we've also been very upfront with Terma about our concerns. And we believe LIDS is a superior technology, which is why we waited as long as we did to switch to ADLS. If we had gotten an indication from the FAA that LIDS would be approved in time to be installed and operational at the project by as late as December 31st, 2023, that would have been our request.
I have no further questions.
Okay, thank you. All right, so I have a few questions for Stacy. Stacy, are you, just so I can orient myself, where are you based?
I'm based in Maine.
You're based in Maine. And what's your familiarity with your project here in North Dakota? Remind me again what your role has been here.
My focus has been in implementing the LIDS technology or some light mitigation technology for the Sunflower project.
Okay.
So that's been my focus from the beginning.
And does Maine have requirements for this technology?
The requirements aren't legislative. They're oftentimes built into the permitting process. We're permitted in Maine by the Department of Environmental Protection, the state agency. And that agency often, through the comment period that goes along with the permitting process, will include some sort of light mitigation in the most recent permits that it's issuing.
When did they start doing that?
The first projects were the Bingham and Hancock projects. So those projects came online in December of 2016.
Okay.
But at that time, just so I could add, that the permit requirement was that when an approved system became available, it would be installed. There wasn't an approved system available for those projects when they first were brought online. And we had to wait for the Vestas system to get its approvals before we could install it.
Yeah. North Dakota has similarly approached this. We started by including the requirements in our permit, and then the legislature followed it up with baking those requirements into law and setting up the time frame for existing or the newer facilities, and and then the previous, the past facilities. So how close have you been watching the commission's action on this?
We've been monitoring it through Frederickson and getting regular reports on the outcomes of various applications.
So you seem very eager to have the LIDS technology applied here, and I don't disagree that LIDS has some potential. Were you aware that one of the facilities asked for and received an extension from the commission about a year ago to attempt to employ LIDS?
We were aware of that, yes.
And then are you aware that they abandoned that this summer and are now installing the traditional ALDS, ADLS system?
We were made aware that was in process, yes.
And then were you also aware that we had a request from another firm last summer for an extension for LIDS and we denied that request?
Yes.
So kind of based on that, I'm surprised that you pursued LIDS way up until September, knowing that we had already rejected that plan, a previous company's request for an extension to wait for LIDS.
We were in the process of negotiating a supply agreement with LIDS throughout that whole time period and in discussions with them throughout the summer and then into the fall. We eventually did sign a supply agreement with them that was contingent on them being able to meet the December 31st, 2021 deadline, with the understanding that if they didn't, they would help us with an extension request based on their knowledge of where things stood. Unfortunately, through back channels and our own investigations, we found that the likelihood of a reasonable time frame was clearly not going to happen. Had that approval happened in September, we'd have a LIDS system operational and been able to meet that. Unfortunately, it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. I'm still just not comforted that you knew what the commission had said and that we were giving every indication that this December 31st deadline was one that we intended to enforce. And you continued to pursue a technology that the FAA had said wasn't going to be approved anytime soon.
We did do outreach to the commission through staff just to try to stay in touch with generally the tone and the mood of the commission. We didn't get an indication that LIDS and the concept of an extension was dead on arrival. We made that choice on our own, just based on what we found, and that it would be completely unreasonable to ask for an extended extension for a time period yet to be determined. That, I think, would be disrespectful.
Mm. Well, we had denied one in, I believe it was May, so I think that that was an error in your reading of the commission and where our position was on the LIDS. Let's see here. Have you had icing issues at Sunflower?
The project does go through time periods when weather creates icing issues. Any turbines that exist in a northern snowy climate will accumulate ice. Some of our issues at the main project were not necessarily ice on blades, but ice that accumulated on top of the nacelle that after a storm, and then eventually when that ice melts, it slides off the roof of the turbine and close enough to the tower that it would essentially clean those radar units right out.
We haven't heard this concern from others. I don't know that there's a lot of Estes turbines, so I have to believe some potentially have that system employed.
I don't know if they do or not.
Yeah, we haven't heard that concern from anybody else. Have you been watching how the reporting from the existing companies that have the system in place and how they've been tweaking the ADLS in North Dakota?
We've had some feedback and we are aware, not just in North Dakota, but also in South Dakota, that there have been significant issues getting things tuned with some of the providers.
But now it seems like a lot of them have kind of figured that out and the systems are operating pretty effectively, in my estimation, throughout our state, for those who are using them and working to, you know, make the fine-tunements needed. But that's the case with any new technology. Wind technology itself is constantly evolving and fairly new. So we've all had to have a pretty big tolerance for learning and adjusting and embracing systems that aren't fully known and developed, wouldn't you say? I mean, this light mitigating technology is just the latest thing, but you as a wind developer and operator have had to be tolerant of things that aren't perfected all along.
That's not an incorrect statement. I mean, and besides that, companies come and go. The hard part is we're talking about a regulated requirement, and you know, if a company fails and then is no longer able to service a piece of equipment, it could be a pretty mad scramble to replace it at significant cost. So having these sorts of new technologies is also risky at our end.
Have you experienced that with other types and components on the wind systems?
Not specifically on wind. My background was in the hydroelectric world before I even got into the wind world. And we found many times fairly significant companies that suddenly were no longer available to us, and their equipment then became obsolete and makes it very difficult to reverse engineer. I think on the wind side, there's been a lot of technological changes and issues on gearboxes, and there have been some wind turbine suppliers that no longer are in the market anymore. And those turbines are difficult to maintain. It causes reliability issues. But that's part of every industry.
Mm-hmm. When did you reach out to Terma and DTECT?
Our first outreach to them was in September and October of 2020. We then subsequently got back to them in late October of 2021. With the revised quotes and trying to find a viable solution that we could, as quickly as possible, get our project into compliance.
So then you really didn't fully abandon the LIDS effort until late October of 2021?
That's when we got confirmation that there was not a chance that the FAA was going to release any findings on that system for the next couple of years.
And who told you that? Who did you get that info from?
We used a consultant to do some back channel efforts at the FAA and talk to people there that he knew. I don't have their names, so who we actually spoke to. Mm.
And were you aware that we had also done a fair amount of research with the FAA through our delegation, our federal delegation, our two U.S. senators, to find out back in May what the likelihood of that or what the status of that process was?
Yeah, I did. In my testimony, I tried to cover that, but we were aware, we were just hearing a completely different story from Technostrobe on that. And we were in the process of negotiating a supply agreement. So it was difficult for us to resolve the conflicts. Hindsight being what it is, we probably should have looked at other alternatives soon.
Okay, well, that I think that concludes my questions. Thank you for your time, Stacy.
Thank you.
So, Commissioner Chrisman, you probably have some questions.
Not many, but a few. On Exhibit 3, the main project, ALDS, operational history, I think that's supposed to be ADLS. The software programming problems, are those things resolved now or just working now but not necessarily resolved?
They, at Vestas, they rewrote their code and then had to retest it. That took several months for them to complete that. But they've assured us that they've resolved whatever the glitch in the program was that they uncovered. So the system is operational now.
And when did they assure you that their rewrite was effective and going to be good?
It was part of the recommissioning of the system. They, at both sites, they re-implemented the program, turned the system on, monitored it, did plane flybys to test it. The standard recommissioning, essentially, as if it were a new system.
And that was when?
I'd have to look at that chart again. So the system came back online in June, roughly. So probably it would be late May, early June, when that system was finally put back in service of 2021.
Was that just a small problem compared to the icing? Or was the icing a small problem compared to the programming, or are they about equal?
It depends on which site. At the Bingham site, the icing was a significant problem. And as you can see, the system was off more than it was on. Part of that was the time it took to design a retrofit protection scheme for those radar units. And then the software issue kind of tagged along on the end of that problem for the Bingham project and was a standalone issue for the Hancock project. That project hadn't had the similar experiences with damage due to icefall.
And the programming problems, we're talking about the computer programming stuff. That the programming problems had nothing to do with what type of wind turbine you're using or anything like that. Is that correct?
Correct.
So while the month wasn't exact, because some of them went over by days or weeks or something, we had the 7 projects that became operational with their ADLS system in December of 2019. Why do you suppose they haven't had these icing and programming problems to the extent that you've been experiencing them and worrying about them continuing on Sunflower if it was built out?
I think the biggest issue that differentiates our experiences with ADLS at our two projects were that they were wind turbine tower mounted. I think most of the more recent installations in North Dakota have been on standalone towers, which aren't in as close a proximity to the wind turbine. So ice damage probably is not as big a concern on that standalone design. Otherwise, I really don't know.
I'm just making a note here, so if you just bear with me. Okay. And I think you kind of touched on it, but I just want to make sure I understood clearly. You have been following these developments, like the seven that went operational at around that beginning of 2020 time frame, and the tweaking that they've had to do and such. But you were aware the whole time that they were up and operational, is that correct?
We knew they had systems installed. We'd gotten various feedback in conversations with staff through people that knew somebody at those sites, and that they had some problems getting the systems to operate, and that there were certain growing pains going on throughout that whole period. So we did know that there were several projects, and we have been monitoring which projects have been able to make themselves compliant as far as getting a system installed, whether it's functioning according to the way the commission would have liked. That's kind of on a case-by-case basis, and we didn't necessarily know where each of those stood in relationship to how the commission was viewing.
And tell me about the circumstances of this event where you collected these petition signatures.
Well, there is a festival that occurs every fall in Hebron, and that's the nearest community to the Sunflower Project. And in order so that we could get to a place where there was likely to be some level of local participation in as efficient a way as possible, we decided to put a booth up and basically make ourselves available to the local population to have conversations about both the project in general and also to talk about lighting, any concerns they might have with lighting, and whether they agreed or disagreed that a two-year extension would be a problem for them. So that was how that event was managed. And with that, we did bring that petition so that we could document from various people who agreed or disagreed, and we really didn't get much of a disagreement. It was generally people there were very supportive and didn't have issues with the project.
And the I thought before you said that these were landowners. Did you seek these specifically from landowners, or just anyone who was at the festival that could weigh in?
It was
on
both. Okay. Yeah, it was both.
Because I see some addresses from places like Bismarck that they may be landowners too. So I just wanted to clarify whether you were saying these are all landowners in the region as opposed to just attendees of the festival.
They were primarily attendees. We did have informal discussions with people that weren't necessarily at the festival, that some of which were actual landowners for the project as well, that maybe didn't make the festival. I was manning the booth with staff from our project, so they were very familiar with the local people and who was there and who might have been missing. But yes, there were people from Bismarck that signed the petition. There were people from other areas that weren't in close proximity as far as what they gave for addresses. So it was a mixture, but they were all North Dakota residents.
Yeah. And I have to say, I haven't been to the festival in a couple years, but I've been there, and you know, seeing that a number of these are couples from the same household, I don't know that 42 seems like a very large number compared to the number of people that attend that festival. So I don't know whether to assume then that the pretty significant amount of people who didn't sign are all hoping that these things get shut off pretty soon, or what to make of that.
It wasn't our experience, and you know, where we had our booth, these are the people that were in that area. I did go to the parade, and there certainly were more people than signed the petition that were there. I think the numbers were down this year a little bit. I don't know if COVID had anything to do with it or not, but you know, that's what we were able to have for conversations over the 2-day period.
And my last one, I believe, is on Exhibit 2. I just want to make sure I understand, right? The current FAA requirements, the ones that are red are the ones that have a light. The ones that are not red do not have a light on top. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you for your testimony this morning.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, Randy. Staff, Brian, do you have any questions?
I do have some. I think Commissioner Fedorchuk covered the LIDS timeline fairly well. It seems like you guys relied very heavily on this Vestas OCAS. It was a technology you were familiar with. However, the tower mounted design wasn't going to work. So you're looking at this, or the turbine mounted design, and you're looking at the standard standalone tower design. Is there a reason why you felt that system and that provider was going to give you better results than the other ADLS for problems such as false indications from radar?
When the system that Vestas has supplied us, when that system has been working, it has worked relatively well. We don't get a lot of interference and false positives. And you add to that Vestas mans a 24-hour operating center in Europe monitors all of their now OCAS radar systems, and that has been very helpful as far as giving us comfort that we knew somebody was looking at this system all the time. Because it is a safety function, the primary reason for it is to turn the lights on, and we wanted to make sure that system is functioning in the best way that it could. Choosing that provider over another is really, it's a matter of what we're most familiar with and where our experience and where our institutional knowledge exists. I didn't have a lot of experience with DTECT or Terma at that time, and nobody in our company had. So we were relying on what we knew. And that was partly why the Vestas system was our primary focus. I had conversations with DTECT at a WIN conference and didn't seem that they had a technology that they were marketing at that time. You know, whether later they were able to adapt their system in a way that made everybody feel that it was a workable system. I mean, obviously there are several installs now in North Dakota as a result of this law. But one of the questions we had was in how they engineered their coverage. Vestas insisted they needed two towers to do it, and that would provide adequate coverage and give what is required by the FAA for making sure that planes and all aircraft could be seen. And the other two provided single tower designs, which, not knowing better, and based on what we already knew, we were more inclined to go with the provider that we trusted.
Sure. But you'd stated that you'd spoken with other people that were operating ADLS and that there was issues with those and everything. Did that come before or after your decision to abandon the Vestas? Was there like a Vestas is best, but we get to a certain point where it's not going to be approved. We have to go with the lesser, one that's maybe not going to have the lights off as much as the other. Did you have any data from Vestas to these other, what everybody else that was using ADLS was saying as far as off times?
We didn't have any data, so it was more conversational and anecdotal. And as far as the timeline goes, the conversations we had were primarily in the spring and early summer of 2021, as we were looking and to make sure that we weren't missing something. You know, as the orders would come out from the commission, we wanted to check and verify, you know, is LID still the best option, or should we be looking at Detect or Terma or Vestas, you know, and pressing harder? In the end, you know, we still think that LIDS is the best option, and I think Commissioner Fedorchuk reiterated a bit that in a perfect world, that might provide the best solution for the people of North Dakota to have mitigation for all the lighting that they're experiencing. Unfortunately, LIDS obviously isn't going to get approved anytime soon, and the issues around whether one system's working better than another, I think they have slowly been resolved, but that timeline and what we were seeing and experiencing didn't give us a lot of comfort that sure, there was a system that could meet our, you know, ours and your needs.
I guess the last question I have, you seem to kind of mention or hint around that maybe not all the feedback you received at the festival in Hebron was positive. Can you give us some of maybe what the non-supportive feedback you received from the community or people at the festival was?
We didn't have any non-supportive. We had people that were obviously standoffish and didn't want to sign petitions and talk to strangers. I am from away, and North Dakota is a lot like Maine. When somebody comes there that they're not familiar with, they oftentimes aren't really interested in having a conversation. That was more the response than it was the discussion about issues. But that was very few. You could count them on one hand, you know, people that came by that didn't want to have a conversation.
Sure. I think Pat has a couple of questions, but that's all the questions I have.
I don't know if you mentioned it before, but what was the date of that festival in Hebron?
It was September 11th and 12th of 2021.
And then on your timeline for Terma ADLS, under the permitting and regulatory, what does the start date represent? Is that the date that you're going to begin preparing documents for an application, or is it the date that the application would be to the agency?
That's the start date for getting the application into the agency.
So it's the start date of the preparation for an application?
No, the preparation would be within that environmental review line that is completed by January 15th, and then we would submit the WAPA request by January 15th.
Okay, thank you.
Because that's underway now.
Okay, thank you, Pat. I'll follow up on that, actually, table. I meant to ask some questions on that, too, so thank you, Pat, for triggering my memory. So why are you just, last week, did you just start working on the FAA approval?
We needed to have a sighting by Terma of a radar tower and the corresponding analysis of coverage for that radar tower at different heights. And that coverage analysis was received within that time period. So that allowed us to be able to submit the request to the FAA.
So you submitted that on the 7th of January?
Yes.
Okay. So was that last Friday? Okay. What about, I mean, I guess this is surprising to me. Why didn't you start this right after you got your, signed your deal with Terma? I mean, did
the issue with Terma, Terma uses an EPC contractor to support them, and that contractor's name is Vicor. And in order to get a full-blown order in place, we have to have that EPC contract completed. That review is still happening. And as a result of that, Terma sells that radar unit to Vicor, and Vicor installs it. But in the meantime, we've been in contact with Terma, and Terma has been supporting us without the contract to get those coverage maps and all of the package together that we'll need for both the FCC and the FAA.
Okay. And you, when did you sign your contract with Terma?
We don't have a signed contract with them. We have their proposal, and they've been working off of that. The contract with Terma will be tied to the EPC contract with Vicor.
And what does EPC stand for?
Engineering, procurement, and construction. So it's a multifaceted, basically,
okay.
Covers everything that is necessary to get this project complete.
When did you, so you don't have a signed contract with Terma, but when did you basically select them as your vendor? Remind me of that date.
I think it was November 4th, we had our first conversations with them, and they began updating their quotations. So it's been an evolution from the early part of November. Initially, they came back with a tower height that was very tall and would have extended this effort considerably just by the amount of steel. And we've been working with them to resolve their engineering questions and their siting issues. It's taken a while to find a site that we were able to use a much shorter tower, which is a 45-meter tower rather than a 90-meter tower. And as a result of that, that did take time to resolve. And the other part with Terma is most of their engineering is overseas. So the time differences have been an issue for them to resolve. But everything does take time. We're quickly resolving that and doing everything we can possibly do to press this as quick as possible.
And what would have stopped you from pursuing this route while also waiting for potential LIDS approval?
Basically, you can't have two supply agreements at the same time.
But you don't have an agreement, it doesn't sound like. You said you don't have a contract with them.
Well, we held off because we already had a signed agreement with Technostrobe. And until we discontinued that, we were kind of bound by our initial supply agreement.
All right. And when did you sign the supply agreement with Technostrobe?
in September 3rd.
Okay, so after we had already denied the extension request from another and found out from our own work through the FAA that they weren't going to be approving it, then you went and signed a couple months after that an agreement with Technostrope to fulfill.
Under their assurance that they could meet our delivery timeline. Fell apart.
Do they have to pay you anything for failing on their end?
No.
All right. I think that's it for me. Thank you. Randy, any follow-up questions?
I think I will follow up on one thing on the timeline. I haven't spent any time in Maine, to be honest with you. So I don't know how familiar you are with our weather in the winter, but we're always assured by developers that, you know, not necessarily on just laying a piece of fiber or cable, but bigger things like setting up foundations, that topsoil is segregated and saved. So when I look at site prep starting going from February 26th to April 12th, and the tower foundation between the same dates, are you aware that the ground is in North Dakota pretty likely to be frozen hard during much of that time, and that it's challenging to segregate the topsoil from the subsoil when they're frozen together?
Yes, we are. And we've had conversations with Vicor, who will be doing that work. Their preference is to obviously wait until winter has broken. And that partly is why that timeline is so long. They don't necessarily have to start their site prep in February. They can do some temporary road work and begin to do some layout. But the actual digging can happen anytime, and it's about a 3-week process to put those tower foundations in. So late March, early April is a possibility. This is a very aggressive timeline. And as we have heard from the commission in other proceedings, we are prepared to move heaven and earth to meet what we're attempting to do. And if that means asking a contractor to do ground thawing, we'll do that.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other follow-up from staff? Okay, Molly, do you have any additional follow-up you'd like to pursue?
Just a couple of questions. There were a line of questioning about what the commission had information about 1 year not being sufficient. You were proposing, though, a 2-year extension. Is that correct?
That was our plan. Is if we submitted a request, it would be for a 2-year extension in order to.
And was that in part because of taking account of the information that the commission had already about the 1 year?
Yes.
And it was in the course of trying to confirm that 2 years was actually a reasonable request, that there was going to be something from the FAA, that you learned that even 2 years wasn't going to work. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes.
And so if I think about this, it wasn't an intent to ignore the commission's information, but more to acknowledge it but still feeling that ADLS was the appropriate, or LIDS was the appropriate technology.
That is correct. Yes. Our intent is not to ignore what the commission's findings were or what their previous orders were. It was to find a solution.
And at that point, then, it was only once you got confirmation that 2 years wasn't in the cards that you decided to pursue this alternative.
That's correct.
I think that's it. I don't have any other questions.
Okay. I don't think anybody else has any questions, Patrick. Brian has a question here, I think.
So your application is based on technological feasibility and not economic. Can you just kind of give me a recap of what the technological reasons are for your extension request?
Technically, the whole use of ADLS has been a concern of us, which is also why we have been slow to implement it. We think LIDS is a much more viable technological solution to give North Dakotans the results that they're looking for. Technologically, I think ADLS might work in the way that you are seeking it to do light mitigation. And the fact that we now, in order to bring ourselves into compliance, are pursuing that, the technological differences between the two systems are what led us to be late.
Okay, but it's an extension based on technical reasons, not technology reasons. And there was an approved technology for quite some time now. So is there something other than your preference that technically you couldn't get it done by December 31st?
I think technically we could have gotten it done by December 31st with LIDS. Unfortunately, that technology is not going to be available, and we don't think asking for 2 years for something that might not happen is reasonable. So technically and technologically, I think ADLS, though it has been available, it is a fledgling technology, and with that, we were hesitant to implement it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. I think that concludes the formal comments here. We'll take a minute and see if there's any members of the public who have called in and wish to participate. Nobody. All right. All right, I think that then concludes this session. I will say, I also look forward to the day when there's more than one option for addressing these concerns, and LIDS might be one of those, but LIDS will be a new technology when and if it's approved too, and will no doubt go through some of the same implementation challenges and adjustments and struggles that ADLS is experiencing as well. It's not going to be a mature technology from day one. So I think it's important not to put too much hope in just that technology and give it time to see if it becomes a real option or not. For my part, I think that is... that concludes my closing statements. I don't. We'll work through this and make a decision probably in the next meeting or shortly thereafter. Randy, do you have any closing comments?
No, thank you. I have nothing else to add.
All right. I think then we've covered all of our responsibilities this morning. Thank you both for your time, for your thorough responses to all of our questions, and we'll get you a decision as soon as we can.
And no objections to this being part of the record.
Well, it's a formal hearing.
Technically informal.
Okay. This is a formal hearing.
Gotcha. All right.
Okay. So that's it. We are adjourned. Thank you very much. Or this hearing is closed.
Thank you.